let me ask you a question. I wonder at the moment, kind of like a month into lockdown, what are you missing the most? What is it that you really hark after? Are you missing seeing loved ones, friends? Are you missing going out for a lovely meal together? Are you missing going to watch some live sport, going to see your favourite football team at the stadium? Are you missing going shopping for anything other than food? Are you missing just giving someone a great big hug? The truth is that life is not much fun at the moment. Now, last week we looked at battling anxiety. And Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 34, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down by the anxieties of life." Now, the truth is that all of us are laughing a bit less, seeing problems around every corner, being short with the ones that we love and annoyed at the littlest of things and continually worried about what may or may not be happening. We're hiding in bed for longer and trying to avoid the reality that we are living in. So what I want to do this morning is go back to a scripture that we touched on last week. And it's one of those scriptures really in the hall of fame of Bible scriptures. You know, you've got Psalm 23, John 3:16, the Lord's Prayer. And then this passage of the Bible in Philippians 4, verses 4-8. I'm going to read it out and then we're going to look at it in greater detail. "Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say to you, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do is look at four things that Paul challenges us to do in those verses. Because there's one wonderful promise if we do what he challenges us to do. The promise is peace. The promise is a peace that transcends all understanding. That even now, in the middle of a global pandemic, you and I can have a peace. I want you to think of it like this. It's like four tools you're to get from the box. And if you use those four tools, you will have the promise of peace. What are those four tools? Well, they are to celebrate and rejoice. They are to ask. They're thanksgiving and meditation and spiritual disciplines. Now, it will take some work on your behalf and my behalf to see those tools do their work and to see peace come in our lives. But God, again, wants to say to you that you can have peace at this time if you put into practice what Paul is challenging us to do. So we're going to look at the first tool today. We're going to look at rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Celebrate God's goodness. Now, when I was a boy and I was growing up, I went to something called Boys Brigade. It's a bit like Scouts. And then once a year, we went away camping under canvas. And we each had these little tents. There was pairs of us, two of us that shared a tent. And in the middle of the campsite was this big dome tent. You know, it was kind of like a very old, probably ex-army tent. And in the middle, it had these two big sturdy poles. I mean, it was a bit smelly and maybe a bit mouldy and not that nice to look at, but it was a sturdy, strong tent in the middle of the campsite. And what happened was, if ever there was a storm or thunder and lightning when we were camping, everyone would run from their little tents and come and shelter in the big dome tent where we ate our meals. Everyone sheltered there, even if it was the middle of the night. When the storms came, people ran out of their little tents and came into the big dome tent. Sheltered under those sturdy poles. Now I want to ask you, where do you find shelter in these challenging times? You see, the context for Philippians is that Paul, who wrote the book, is around 60 years old. And he's been beaten up and whipped countless times. He's been shipwrecked more times than he can remember. He's faced starvation and he's waiting to die. On top of that, a lot of the churches that he has planted around Europe are writing to him with their problems. There's false preachers and false teachers. With that background, Paul tells us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's incredible. He's saying, rejoice, not once, but always. And again, I say, rejoice. He's really drawing attention to the reality that we need to be able to rejoice. You say, Mark, how is that possible? To rejoice when things are bad in the current climate? Well, look at the text carefully. Rejoice, not in your feelings, not in your circumstances, but rejoice in the Lord. Make a decision to rejoice in the Lord that is deeply rooted in the confidence that God exists, God is good, and God is in control. And what I want to give you is two sturdy tent poles that you can rejoice in. Two sturdy truths, realities that you can rejoice in at this time. Number one, rejoice in God's sovereignty. You see, Paul held firm to a belief in the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? It means that God is in control of the universe. God is all powerful and in control of the universe. I wonder, what is your belief system? Is anyone in control of the universe? Does life have a purpose? Do you have a value? You see, what you believe, that always comes first, and then it will impact your behavior. To have peace in our lives, we need a proper understanding of God's sovereignty. And I believe one of the reasons why many of us are struggling so much and feeling so much anxiety at this time is that we aren't in control of our own lives. We've all been impacted by the coronavirus. Many of us, if not most of us, cannot go to our place of work, or we are unable to work. Children, young people, unable to go to school. We can only leave our house once a day for exercise or essential shopping. We can't travel freely as we would want to. We can't go on holiday. So many things that we would want to do or be part of our everyday life, we've lost control of being able to do them. Psychologists did a fascinating study about the men involved in World War II. And they found this very interesting finding, that infantrymen, so soldiers, on the ground soldiers, faced huge anxieties after 60 days of battle. So they would fight in the trenches, they would fight battles, and after 60 days, their minds would be messed up. They would be anxious and would suffer all kinds of trauma and stress. But interestingly, fighter pilots, you know, Spitfire pilots, those who fought in the skies above Britain, they had 92% job satisfaction. This is mad. 92% job satisfaction. And yet, a fighter pilot was more likely to die than any other person involved in combat. It was 50-50 whether they would live or die. It was like a flip of a coin. And it's like, why were they so satisfied and at peace in life because they were in control of their destiny. They felt, sitting in the cockpit, they were in control of their destiny. They would fight the person, their adversary, and they would either lose or win, but they were in control. The infantrymen, the soldiers, felt completely helpless. We can't control everything. That's true in normal life. It's even more true now. We don't know when things will go back to normal. We want certainty, but the only certainty we have is that times are uncertain. You see, the Bible gives a better idea. The Bible says, don't seek total control of your life, rather relinquish it. You can't run the world, but you can entrust it to God. And that's what Paul's saying in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord's sovereignty, that he is in control. Find peace in the sovereignty of God. That Hebrews 1 verse 3, God sustains all things. That he names the stars and he knows the number of hairs on your head. You see, God's answer for these troubled times is that heaven has an occupied throne. In 8th century BC, Judah had been at peace for 52 years, which was an incredible deal in the Old Testament. Under King Uzziah, things have been pretty good for the nation of Judah. But then Uzziah died. Well, what happened next? How were the people to survive? What would be that would happen next? You can feel like us, can't you? What's happening next in this global pandemic? No job, no income, no security, uncertainty, left, right, and center. Well, listen to the message that God gave to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 3. In the year that Uzziah died, King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two that covered his face and two that covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. God is seated on the throne. You see, God calmed the fears of Isaiah and the nation of Judah by reminding them that God is on the throne. You see, the problem has not been removed, but God has revealed that his divine power and presence remains. He sits on the throne. Max Licardo gives, a really helpful illustration. He's an American author, and he says this. Suppose your dad was the world's best orthopedic surgeon. People traveled all over the world to see him. And when you're 10 years old, you don't understand all the accomplishments that your father has made. One day, you fall and you twist your ankle and it hurts a lot. And you're worried that you have to use crutches and miss the final of your football match in 2 weeks' time. In walks your dad and sees a bruise on your ankle. He looks at it and says, you'll be okay. You'll say, no, Dad, I'll never walk again. And your dad says, yes, you will. You say, oh, no one can help me. I'm going to miss out on my football match. And you say, your dad says, I can help you. Do you know what I do for a living? Now, you know your dad is a doctor, but you don't know much else. The next day, your dad says, right, after school, I'll pick you up and we'll go to the hospital. You go to the hospital and you go into Dad's office and you see all these awards on his office wall. You see a book on the table that your dad has written. Your dad then gets a call and he's rushed off to surgery. And the nurse says, well, would you like to come and watch what your dad does? So you go to a room and there's a window, and inside on the other side of the window, there's the surgery taking place. You see your dad take command of the whole operating theatre. You see him reconstruct an ankle. And the nurse comes by and says, your dad is the best. In the car on the way home, you ask, Dad, do you think my ankle will be okay for the football match in a fortnight's time? And your dad says, yes, it will be fine. And this time, you believe him. You see, anxiety decreases and peace comes when our understanding of the Father increases. That's why it's so wonderful to rejoice in God's sovereignty. Because God's sovereignty gives the Christian an inside track onto peace. Others see problems and go crazy and feel anxious and all over the place. We see the problems and we bow the knee, knowing that God is sovereign. Don't get me wrong, it's a challenge. It's a big challenge. A challenge to lift your eyes to him who sits on the throne. It's a challenge not to get lost in your troubles, but dare to believe that God works everything for the good of those who love him. You're looking for peace? Rejoice in the Lord's sovereignty. That's the first sturdy temple. The second one I want to look at is rejoicing in God's grace. All of us feel guilt at times for things we've done wrong or things maybe we wish we would have done. And in this time of lockdown, many of us would have had more time to think about the past than ever before. And maybe the guilt of the past is haunting you and sucking the life out of you. Now we all deal with this in different ways. Some of us numb the guilt with a bottle of wine or a bottle of Jack Daniels. Others deny the guilt. That's not me. Or we minimize it. It's only small, it's only little, not a big deal. Or we redirect it and we lash out at our kids or our wives or our husbands or those who are closest to us. But God's grace brings life. Now back to Paul again, Paul who wrote the book of Philippians. You see, Paul had every reason to be burdened by guilt. He had killed and buried Christians. He had blood on his hands. And he also tried to save himself through his good deeds and actions. He says in Philippians that he was the most Jewish of Jewish men. He was the best that the best can be. But then Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he was transformed into a man of grace. Philippians 3 and verse 7 says, Paul speaking, whatever gain I had, I counted it a loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul gave his guilt to Jesus and surrendered his life to Jesus. If you are struggling with guilt, trust in God's ability to forgive you. Abandon all attempts to make it right on your own and accept and receive God's grace. You know, a Christian who is peaceful is aware of the severity of their sin, but also aware of the immensity of God's grace. Now listen, I want to tell something really important. Really, really important. We will face many anxieties in life, both now in this pandemic and in the months and years ahead. You will face anxieties. But as a Christian, you should not face the anxiety of guilt. You should not. Because Jesus Christ's grace and death on the cross dealt with our guilt once and for all. You see, that's the finished work of the cross. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me. Let me ask you, do you know this grace? If you have unresolved guilt in your life, then God can deal with it now. He can take it away now. He can forgive you for the wrong things that you have done in the past, in the present. He can forgive you and start a new chapter. Listen, one day, we will all stand before God and give account of our lives. Every action, every word, and every deed. Jesus came, as it says in John 1 verse 29, to take away the sins of the world. The list of wrong things that you have done can be ripped up and taken away when we ask for God's grace and forgiveness in our life. So rejoice. Rejoice in the grace of God. Rejoice, because peace comes when I rejoice by saying, my sins are washed away. I am forgiven. I am accepted. I am a child of God. So I want you to see these two sturdy tent poles that we can rejoice in. Rejoice in God's sovereignty. Rejoice in God's grace. And let me close with this. Let me close with this. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. That word, always. We might be like, why'd you write that word always, Paul? You know, I can rejoice most of the time, but when I'm unemployed, when I'm sick, when I'm bereaved, how? How can I do that? Again, we go back to God's sovereignty allows us to fight anxiety and worries. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. The ultimate proof of this is Jesus' death on the cross. You see, no deed was more evil or day was dark, but God knew and God was sovereign. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 24. This is Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. This man, that's Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And then listen to this. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to hold him there. Everyone thought that Jesus' life was over. But God came and raised him from the dead. In this global pandemic, we can say with confidence, but God is still sovereign. We have a choice every moment of every day to get entwined in the anxiety and the chaos and the worries and the anxieties, or to be at peace because God is sovereign. To rejoice in God's sovereignty and God's grace. This is a true story. This is a true story to finish. Horatio Spafford was a prosperous lawyer, an American prosperous lawyer. And in 1871, he and his wife, Anna, suffered a tragic loss in the Chicago fire. Later that year, in November, they decided to change their life and go to Europe. Anna and the four children set sail for Europe while Horatio stayed to finish some business before going a few months later. On the 2nd of December, he received a telegram from his wife. Saved alone. What should I do? The ship, the passenger ship, had collided with a British vessel and sank. The four daughters had all drowned, but Anna survived. While sailing on the ship from America to England to collect Anna, his wife, Horatio wrote some lyrics to a famous song. Let me just read a few of these lyrics. The song, the hymn, most of you will have heard of, it's called "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, it is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds roll back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound and the Lord descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. 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 I believe, with God's help, we can have peace at this time. We can rejoice in God's sovereignty and in God's grace. Do connect with one another online. Do get in touch with any questions or prayer requests or any way that we can help you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship and we're going to rejoice and we're going to celebrate and we're going to sing that, Lord, you are good. Let me pray and then Jonathan will lead us in that song. Father God, in this challenging time, we thank you for the promise of peace that Paul gives us in Philippians 4. And we thank you for this tool of celebrating God's goodness and rejoicing in God's sovereignty and God's grace. Lord, would you help us this week when trouble and anxiety come to rejoice in your sovereignty and in your grace. Help us to do that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.